Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Tom Moodley. His new book is Vectors, Heroes, Villains, and Heartbreak on the Bridge of the USS Navy. Tom is now Acting Secretary of the Navy, an esteemed post with challenges in all directions, and all we can do is mention a few of them. First, what is 355 plus, Tom? What did that mean then?
Yes, well, in 2016, the Navy commissioned three different studies to look at what the future force structure should look like. How many aircraft carriers, how many destroyers, how many frigates, et cetera, what that mix would look like and how many they should have or set as a North Star to try and achieve. At that particular time, we had about 275 ships that had been a significant decline from the 600 ship Navy under President Reagan and Secretary Lehman. And we were looking at a threat environment that was becoming far more complex and challenging with the Chinese Navy and others threatening ours. So they did these studies and they focused in on one that suggested that the best force mix was 355 ships. And so that then became part of where they were trying to head. It didn't become official policy until President Trump ran for election, and he claimed it and said that he was going to drive towards this 350 ship Navy. And the Congress put it in law that was the goal for the nation. So that's where the 355 comes from. When I was sworn in as undersecretary, I gave a speech at the Naval Academy and talked about how we need to think about that more in terms of 355 plus, because it was not just those traditional hulls, but it was the entire environment that we need to be thinking about investing in. So those traditional 350 or more ships, but unmanned vessels, the whole cyber connectivity, integration with other unmanned systems and aerial systems. And so I started calling it 355 plus, because I really didn't think the number was that important, other than to suggest that we're at 275 now, and we got a long way to go to where we need to go, and just start putting a marker out there that we needed to invest in that to start driving towards it.
A second challenge, and you and I talked about this at the time, Tom, was education and sea power. How do they go together?
Well, one of the major challenges, and one of the things I really started looking at, and I come to it with a bias, having spent some time in academia and as well as in consulting, and understanding how important it is to have people with the intellectual capacity to think about circumstances in a much more flexible way. And what I had noticed in coming in and evaluating the education systems in the Navy is that they hadn't really evaluated that as a holistic thing for over 100 years. There was something in 1918 called the Knox-King-Pyle Report, which basically redesigned, reimagined naval education. And those reforms were critical to helping prepare the senior officers that we had for the battles they were going to face in World War II. And I felt that we needed to look at it, given the changing environment, a movement towards maybe perhaps a less kinetic age to a more cognitive age, where we have cyber issues and advanced artificial intelligence and unpredictability, that we needed to rethink our education system. So I commissioned a study called Education for Sea Power, and I took my hands off it and let them run. And I brought in some very senior people from both sides of the aisle to take a look at this. And they made a lot of strong recommendations for how we should realign naval education to prioritize it, that intellectual development of our sailors and Marines to better prepare them for this century.
That's where we first met, Tom. Thanks to your colleagues, your staff, Bob Love and Steve Deal, brought me in to understand. You divided the world up into gray hulls, gray matter, and gray zone. What is a gray zone, Tom?
A gray zone to me, I mean, I know it sounds very, you know, mysterious, like something you'd see in a spy movie or something. And I know there's gray zone operations where people go behind enemy lines to do things. But what I thought about gray zones, when I thought about gray zones, I was talking about all those back office things that happen in the department that facilitate the execution of the Navy's mission. So it's the financial management, the supply chain stuff, the human capital strategies, all those things that people tend to not look at or take seriously or don't get as much priority as buying a missile or a ship or an aircraft. And so I called those gray zones. And gray matter obviously was an intellectual development piece of it. And then the gray hulls was all about defining what that force structure needed to be so that we could start going after it. And those were my three priorities as the acting Secretary of the Navy.
My note says there's $210 billion annual in the Defense Department budget for the Navy, 75% of which is the Navy's, 25% is the Marine Corps'. That's a great deal of money, except what is the Edsel Ford?
Well, the Ford, that's my sort of pejorative name for the Ford, and I do it tongue-in-cheek because I really think the ship is going to be a fabulous warship when it's complete. But I called it the Edsel in my book because in the 2017-2018 timeframe, it got the attention of the president. It was the first in the new generation of aircraft carriers. It was to be built on the Nimitz-class hull, which was sort of the bulwark of our carrier, supercarrier fleet. But it had been redesigned, and something like 21 or more new technologies were integrated into this new hull. They were having a lot of trouble, particularly with the electromagnetic launch systems and the electromagnetic elevators for weapons. And it had kind of become, a whipping boy for the president in terms of everything that the Navy couldn't do right. The ship started out as a $9 billion projected cost. By 2017, it was estimated it was going to come in at like $13 billion, which is a significant cost overrun. And it was just overwhelmed, I think, by complexity with trying to integrate all these things at once. However, the design of the ship was really for the future. The electromagnetics allow you to basically man these stations on the ship with 30 to 40% fewer people. And so you're putting less people in harm's way. The cost of those people goes away. Things like that are very, very, I think, very cleverly designed into the Ford itself. But I call it the Edsel because the Edsel, if you know the story of the Edsel in the 1950s, it was a new vehicle that was being developed. I believe it was Henry Ford the third or the second who wanted to create this new revolutionary vehicle. It had all kinds of things like a push button transmission, and it was just ahead of its time and too expensive, and the population just didn't adapt to it. And what I was trying to get our people to understand is that we can't have something called the USS Edsel Ford. This aircraft carrier is going to be at the front lines of our defense and our naval power, and we needed to get it right, and we needed to fix all the problems that we had. And so I tried to get everybody all hands on deck to try and fix that and, frankly, get it off the president's radar so we could deliver what we needed to deliver for the American people.
And the Ford, we have 30 seconds. Where is the Ford right now, Tom?
I'm pretty sure the Ford is out on deployment right now, but I don't know. They're based in Norfolk, Virginia.
Tom Moodley, Vectors, Heroes, Villains, and Heartbreak on the Bridge of the U.S. Navy. It is now the winter of 2020. When we come back, the pandemic hits the Navy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No